your Bibles. John chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. For he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore say I, that he shall take of mine, and shall shew it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, Therefore, what is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall turn into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, and your joy may be full, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come unto the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. But by this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen and amen to that. Yes, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Yeah, too many mopey saints running around all depressed, upset about the minor trials that they have faced so far. You have not yet gone through what it is that's to come. And what it is that's to come, you better get on track, because the Spirit of God will carry you through, but not on your terms. He will take you through, but not on your own expectations and your own personal desires and your own hope for what it is that you would like things to be. You've got to line up to what God's page is, because when you do that, you now put yourself in position for God's miraculous hand and for what it is that He wants to do in and through your life. Yes, you know what the struggle is with your own humanity, with your own mortality. That's what I face, you know, so often is I face that struggle with, all right, this is, there's still that human side of me, you know, that I bring under subjection of the will of God, but it still feels, it still hopes, it still dreams, it still has desires, and all those things have to be mastered and brought before the Father, because if they're not, they will destroy you. If they're not, they will be the very thing that becomes the snare that keeps you and binds you into the soil of this earth, which, you know, is not, you're called to higher things. You know, I go back to the start of this chapter, and I mean, it's amazing that verse 1, these things shall have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. I mean, gosh, how many people these days are doing all sorts of things thinking that they're doing God's service, but they don't know Him? And they don't know you. You know, if people recognized you, if people legitimately recognized you and I for who we were in the body of Christ, you know, they would be blessed. Their lives would be enriched, enhanced, fulfilled. They would, you know, they would be able to receive what it is that God has put in us for them. But the fact that people actually see the light that's in us and hate it and despise it and want to destroy it, and in the process of trying to destroy it think that they're doing a service to God, it is quite amazing. You know, I mean, how often, you know, the saints of God have been in difficult times and in trials, and in the process of being in those situations, they, you know, and even when people try to execute them, and they pray for their captors, they pray for the people that hurt them, that harm them, that seek to do them damage, and they pray, and Lord, please, you know, spare these ones, spare these people, that they don't know what they're doing. And Jesus was the ultimate example of that on the cross, when He was praying for those that were hurting Him. And He said, Lord, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they do. People do not understand what they do. When you are cut off from truth and life and light, and you don't have a heart for that, you don't know what you're doing. When people live in this world like that, they go through a meaningless existence and constantly lash out against light and truth because they live in the darkness, and it scares them. You know, it scares the worlders to come into contact with us. Because when they do, it exposes them, just your very presence. Your, you know, your presence as a child of God and a child of light, with the light of God shining through you. Your presence will be a terror to somebody that has chosen the darkness and has chosen to live and move in that way. And it scares them, your presence. And at the same time, your very presence, for somebody that loves truth, loves light, loves the Father, will be a joy to somebody that sees that and wants that, because for them, they recognize that shining through you. So, it is quite amazing, you know, how the Father works with His people. But you know, we are the marginalized ones. We are the ones that are put out. We are the ones that are put to the sidelines. But you know, in that process too, you wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it. Because that is also where the Spirit of God would have us to be. He would have us to go through these difficulties and these trials. Because you know, it builds also in us an appreciation for that truth, just a longing for the completion of what it is that God has put in us and desired and made us to be. So, yeah, you know, keep going with this. Verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I send you the truth. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Okay, yeah, let's stay on those for a little bit. Alright, so the Comforter comes. Alright, where does the Comforter live? This Holy Spirit. Where does He live? And that's right, lives in you, lives in me. Because your body is the temple of the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God lives in you, Spirit of God lives in me. And when the Spirit of God lives in us, and we walk around in this world, His Spirit living in you reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. So when somebody sees you living the truth, and living in connection with the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God working and living through you, it convicts and it reproves the world of sin, because they have not chosen that path. And when they see that choice living and vibrant in you, they hate that. Of righteousness, verse 10, because I go to my Father, and ye shall see me no more. It's a continuous reminder of the truth, of right standing with God. When somebody has the Spirit of God in them, it is a revelation, a living, walking manifestation of what is possible, and what we're a foretaste of what we're destined for and destined to be compared to the world and those that have chosen another path. And they hate that as well. And verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, the Spirit of God living in you is a constant, continuous conviction to the world and the world system that they are in the end completely defeated, bunk, and the whole thing is going to fall apart. So, alright, so of those three, obviously they don't like you. Obviously they've got a problem with what God's put in you. But if you would stop trying to find that middle ground, there is no middle ground. You have to sell out to truth, 100%. You have no other option, because in the process of completely letting go to what it is that God has to do with you, and through you, you find out the maximum of what He's intended to do with you and through you and in you, it becomes a whole different game. Verse 12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into some truth. Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. Alright, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. See, you cannot separate the Holy Spirit from the Spirit of truth, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So, in order for a spirit or any manifestation of spirit to be from and to be the Spirit of God, it has to be the Spirit of truth. And if it's not truth, it's not Him. Period. Now, there's all kinds of people that are running around with partial truths, with WikiLeaks manifestations of the truth. That's not real. It's not the real deal. Those are all stuff with ulterior motives, ulterior agendas, sandwiched truth and lie mixed together to hopefully get you to eat the whole thing and to destroy you. No, the Spirit of truth, when the Spirit of truth comes upon a person, is different. When you understand the truth that comes from the gospel and comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, that in and of itself is, you know, it may hurt at the moment, but there's peace at the close of it. There's resolution, there is resolve, there is a new beginning in Christ when you have that Spirit of truth working in your life. And that is what He puts in us. You know, a true follower of Christ has a hunger for truth. You can't live with something that is fictitious, partial, halfway there. You can't have a half-baked truth. You want the whole truth. You desire that. And then from the desire of that, you want to live in that truth. You don't want to just know the truth and the truth will set you free. You want that truth to become the living embodiment of what you are. You know, that knowing of truth, that is a consummation with the truth. That's the fusing of that truth with you, where you and the truth become one. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You will be consummated with the truth. You will become one with the truth, where the truth and you are not separate. But when somebody sees you, they see truth. And when somebody sees truth, they see the reflection of Christ in you. Now, what does that truth do? Well, let's go back. It reproves the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. It reproves, so that truth that's living in you reproves the world of sin, because they believe not on you, on me. Well, okay, on God, you know, in the context, on Jesus. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and ye see me no more, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So the truth of God, when it's revealed, when the revelation comes of who He is, and you live in it and you fuse with that, yeah, gosh, sin hates that. And it shows the stupidity of those that have chosen the world and all that is the world entails. Because you know what, really, it is a dumb, dumb thing to sell out to this world for a, you know, what, 30, 40, 50 years if you're lucky, and then an eternity in hell? You know, for what? What did you get? And even during the time that you're maybe at the top of the molehill of the world and the little assignment they gave you, there's no satisfaction, there's no peace. Everything around you is a game being played. Nobody around you is real, including you. And then you die. You shrivel up and die. You're already dead from the moment that you make that decision, but you just continue to rot away. And then finally you come to that point where, okay, you know, just sort of get scraped off, tossed into the garbage with the rest of the ones that came before you. You know, it is amazing the fact that these worlders do not learn the lessons from history. Just stop and see the people that have come before that have made the same choices that you're on that path making right now, and what was the ramifications of their life. What did their lives turn into? Absolutely craziness to choose the world. But the majority go that way because they're enticed through their flesh, they're enticed through demonic powers, they're enticed through the being fed to their egos and to their mindsets, and in the end they make that choice. And God offers another way, but you have to desire it. It has to be within your soul. And He draws you, but you can't resist it. You have to choose to embrace the drawing of the Spirit of God. So, yep. Verse 11, back to that. You know, so the Spirit of truth living in you, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You know, the truth, when the Spirit of God lives in you, and the truth of God lives in you, it is a consistent and total judgment. When you live in truth, when you are fused with truth, it is like sandpaper, you know, when you walk through this world. You grate against the worlders, you aggravate them, they hate you. The only reason that sometimes they will interact with you for a few different reasons. One, if they are trying to game you, stalk you, trying to siphon the energy of God off of you and looking for some sort of access angle to you, you know, to one, siphon you off, and two, to try to kill you or to take you out. Another reason that they might interact with you is because they are out of ideas, out of ability, and basically they need to save their own hides, and in the process of wanting to save their own necks, they'll ask you to come into the position that you have God-given skill and ability, and you do that, but they'll try to take the credit for it. But that's all right, because you know what? We don't do what we do for praise from man. We do what we do because it's the Spirit of God that leads and guides us to that. Our praise comes from the Father, not from men. And so they get their 15 minutes of fame, but we get a lifetime and an eternity of the approval and the blessing of the Father upon our lives. So, yeah. You know, I wanted to touch on a couple more things in here. You know, one was in verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and shall lament, but the world shall rejoice and shall be sorrowful, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall turn into joy." You know, there's a lot of things that grieve us, you know, in this time that we live in right now, and more so in the days to come. But I want to encourage you, because it's just for a moment. It's just something that we go through, and all of us go through. You're not alone in what you're going through. You are not alone in the difficulties and the trials that you face. You know, understand that, know that. You may feel alone, but you're not. You know, God allows you to experience this because it's part of the process. Embrace it, but realize you're not alone, and when you come to the other side of this, He's there. And He's blessing you in that. In verse 21, "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." You know, there's going to be a time where, you know, we pass on from this whole thing. None of the difficulties and the struggles that you've gone through here will have a hold on you there. So we go through just something. You're not going to carry any of the baggage from this world with you. You leave it all behind. So you might as well get on with what it is that God has for you. and realize that this stuff is just now in this reality, in this dimension, for a God-given purpose. That's it. So, you know, don't stress about it. Don't let it get you down. One more verse was verse 31 through the end. Says, "And Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So yeah, you know, in the world you and I are going to have trouble. We are going to experience some stuff while we're here. But the Spirit of God quickens us and commends us and commands us to, you know, be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. And we overcome because in Him we live and move and have our being. The call to the saints throughout the history, throughout time, every fellowship of believers, the call is to overcome. To overcome the challenges of your generation, to overcome the enemy and the works of the devil, and to destroy those when and where you come across them. God has called us to overcome and to be overcomers because we live in Him. He overcame. And because He overcame this world, we can as well. Because we live in His power, His ability, His purpose and plan and destiny for your life. When you line up with that, you'd be amazed what else starts lining up in your life. So, yeah, you know what? So anyways, I just pray, you know, let's just pray real quick. Father, I just pray right now. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I pray, Lord, that you bless them. I pray, Lord, that they would just embrace your plan and purpose for their lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that you would shield them with a hedge of protection in and around them, Lord God, and draw them, Lord God, so strongly in these days unto you. Father, I pray your blessing upon their lives. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you quicken each and every one of their minds with your plan and purpose and your kingdom destiny, Father, for them as they live in you, Lord, and have their being in you. And Lord, seek your plan for them, Father. I pray that it would be manifest in amazing ways in this day and in this age. Bless them, Father, we pray. We turn our lives over to you. Have your will in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, God bless you. Love you very much. And I'll catch up with you again sometime soon. All right.